Welcome to the Cultured or Can It podcast.
Okay.
My co-host for your film... I'll start over.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Cultured or Can It podcast. I'm your host, Zach, and my co-host tonight will be...
Emma,
once again. Recording back-to-back. We just recorded the Perfect Getaway podcast. But right now we're going to talk about Extract, which is a film that I didn't even know that Emma had seen, but I'm glad that she did, because that meant that we could make this podcast. Extract is a film from 2009. We've talked a lot about 2009 films. If you're wondering why, it's because it's really easy to get a hold of them. That's why.
And they're fresh in your mind.
This is a film that is directed by Mike Judge. You might also remember Mike Judge as the guy who created not only Beavis and Butthead, but also King of the Hill. And he made Office Space and Idiocracy. Office Space I find to be a little bit overrated. Idiocracy I find to be a little bit underrated. Extract I find to be a very funny film. I think that everyone should see it because it's really funny. But it stars Jason Bateman, Ben Affleck, J.K. Simmons, who Emma calls...
Who?
J.K. Simmons. Juno's dad!
Oh, Juno's dad!
Every time he pops up in a movie, we just refer to him as Juno's dad.
And from Oz.
And also from Oz. He played the Nazi from Oz.
Juno's dad.
Juno's dad was in prison on Oz. Mila Kunis from That 70s Show. And she's also popped up in a few recent projects. She was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And she also voices Meg on Family Guy. And Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she was in Dewey Cox.
And Adventureland. She's kind of pretty, but like not pretty, you know what I mean?
She's cutesy.
Yeah, she is. She is cutesy. She's also in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, is she?
Yep. Oh, she was on Knocked Up. She was one of the television executives.
Mm.
Her and Alan Tudyk, the pirate from Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Who shows up in some things. Basically, Extract is a film about Jason Bateman, who is the owner... His name is Joel in the movie. He's the owner of an extract company. He was a chemistry major in college, and then he got his master's in chemistry, and it's always been kind of his lifelong thing. Well, his business is very successful, but his personal life, and by personal life, I mean his life with his wife, played by Kristen Wiig, is not really going so well. He hasn't really been able to connect with her on a physical or emotional level in quite some time. And even though he's got a lot of money because he's got a successful business, he's very unhappy with his life. So he's got to try and deal with, you know, handling his business, but also handling his personal life. And he's often kind of counseled by his best friend, who's played by Ben Affleck. And Ben Affleck's kind of always given him bad advice and always kind of, kind of like making him an unwitting participant in shenanigans and hijinks. But the film, it seems to me like it's the kind of film that could potentially happen in the real world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Office Space kind of could in some ways as well. This is kind of what Mike Judge does. Even King of the Hill, it seems like that show could exist in the real world in a lot of ways, too. With the exception of Idiocracy, it seems like Mike Judge movies are very much based in reality, and there aren't too many fantastical elements to them. Very kind of work-a-day, go through a main character's life, and find out what's going on in his or her life, what their motivations are. I think that Mike Judge does character very well, and I think that Jason Bateman's main character here, Joel, is a very fleshed-out and well-written character. There isn't much that you don't know about this character. There's a reason for why he's doing everything that he's doing, and I like that. He's very well-written. He wants to sell his company to like General Mills or one of the other big corporations, so he can kind of take the money from that and kind of run away. But he also really wants to connect with a woman on a deeper level than he's connecting with his wife. So he kind of sets out to he kind of tries to chase Mila Kunis and kind of try and form a relationship with her. But little does he know that she's actually a confidence woman. She's a con woman, and she wants to get together with this guy, Step, played by Clifton Collins Jr., because he has been injured on the job, and he's about to get a huge settlement from the insurance company.
He had a mid-body injury.
A mid-body injury. He lost a testicle in an industrial accent. So Mila Kunis gets a job at the factory because she wants to try and meet him and get the money, but she ends up becoming the unwitting love interest of Jason Bateman, who goes and talks to Ben Affleck about what's going on, and Ben Affleck tells him that he should hire a gigolo to seduce his wife, so that way when he cheats on his wife, he won't feel guilty.
It'll be justified, then.
It'll be justified cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about that logic, you wonder, like, why would he go along with this plan in the first place? Because that makes no sense.
I know.
Ben Affleck is kind of like he's a bartender, but he's outgrown the age at which someone should perhaps be a bartender. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It went beyond, like, oh, I did this when I was in college. He's made a career out of it.
Yeah, he's kind of been there a long time and probably realistically needs to move on, but he doesn't really have the maturity to go out and find a better job than what he has. He's happy probably because he gets to meet a lot of women and things like that. Well, there's a lot going on at the factory because Mike Judge does workplace humor very well. And I'm sure that every character that's in the factory, you've probably seen somewhere. If you've ever worked a real mundane, mind-numbing job, you have, like, there's a female character played by Beth Grant who, for example, thinks that she is owed more because she supposedly does more than anybody even realizes or knows about.
She lifts over 2,000 pounds a week.
Yeah. There is a forklift driver there whose main interest is trying to, you know, make it with the band that he's in, and he's kind of airheaded and doesn't really even do a very good job at driving the forklift. You've got J.K. Simmons, a.k.a. Juno's dad, who plays like the co-manager of the factory, and he's kind of out of touch with his employees, and he doesn't listen to them when they talk to him, and he's very derisive of them. He's kind of like that asshole manager who doesn't really care about the employees. And you have various other characters as well. Step, to me, seems kind of like a guy. He kind of reminds me of our brother, older brother Mark, in a way. He has kind of like a false sense of superiority at his job because he has like a little more power than everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, there are a lot of very realistic scenarios going on at the workplace. And some of my favorite parts of the movie were just showing what these idiot employees are doing in the factory while Jason Bateman's kind of like running around taking care of his shenanigans and hijinks.
They're all very like simple characters, but they really add a lot to the humor and just the plot of the story.
Yeah. Basically the plot is everything that we said earlier about Jason Bateman hiring a gigolo to seduce his wife so that he can cheat on her guilt-free. That's basically the main thing. Jason Bateman kind of has it rough because he's not getting along very well with his wife. He comes home and she's got the sweatpants on with the waist tied tight, so he knows he's not gonna be able to make love that night, because once the sweatpants are on, they don't come off. And he also can't masturbate in his house because the bathroom is right next to the living room, so all he hears are like the reality TV shows that his wife watches. So he can't kind of, you know, pleasure himself while that's happening. And Ben Affleck says, why don't you just go in the other bathroom and do it? And he says, because no one ever goes in the other bathroom and she would get suspicious or something like that.
Yeah.
She kind of reminds me of, like, your typical late 30s housewife type who just watches a lot of reality TV, like, you know, America's Next Top Model. And what was that, the show she was watching?
She was watching Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, yeah, she was watching that. She seems to me to be like a typical housewife who just watches a lot of TV and doesn't do a whole lot of other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she does have a job, but she works from home. Joel's also got a really annoying neighbor who is played by David Koechner.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's so funny.
He's really funny. What did he say about the price of the plate?
Oh, it's good. $55 a plate.
It's gonna be $55 a plate. And
he just talks his ear off. He can't get away from him every time he comes home from work. He's out in the yard waiting to talk to Joel, and he just goes on, and you can't get away from him.
And I'm sure that everybody knows somebody like him in real life, too, so that helps you to identify with what Jason Bateman's going through. You know, everybody knows the really annoying guy who just wants to talk and talk and talk, and you can't pull yourself away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of people like that in real life. So basically what happens as the story goes along, because it's not a very shocking story. It's not really you can't really spoil anything. You kind of know where the story is going to go as it's going along. It's not anything, revolutionary. The strength of the film lies in the performances of the actors and from the jokes. But the gigolo that Jason Bateman hires definitely is able to seduce his wife. And once he finds that out, he decides that he's going to try and get closer to Mila Kunis's character. It's revealed that Mila Kunis is a confidence woman. Well, you see that from the very beginning when she steals the guitar. But she's also been stealing things from around the workplace, like some employees' purses go missing, and somebody else's, was it their watch or something?
Watch and a wallet.
Yeah, that stuff like that starts going missing. Jason Bateman eventually finds out that she is behind it, and he reveals to his wife, what he had done. And she gets angry with him for good reason, and they separate. And, eventually they, at the end, it's the spoiler alert, they get back together. There's kind of a romantic thing to it, but I kind of like that in the film. The film's kind of sweet in a way, and yeah, what Jason Bateman did was wrong, and you shouldn't do that. I mean, that's total entrapment, what he did to her. And also you kind of find out that some of his wife's needs weren't being met. Jason Bateman ends up not being, the great husband that he thought that he was,
Yeah.
He could have been, more interested in his wife's hobbies. Because even when she was doing things like talking about her graphic arts and stuff like that, he could have been more supportive of her work. And he wasn't putting in what he should have been putting in. He'd kind of lost his way. So it's not entirely her fault that their marriage had gone through that trouble.
Their relationship just kind of got boring.
Yeah. I think as a result of them having all the money that they needed and, living in a beautiful house, and sometimes people think that you're on easy street when you live like that, but I guess that, you have problems that people just can't see or something like that, and they weren't connecting. But they were able to get back together by the end of the film, and it's portrayed realistically. It doesn't take itself too seriously. There are a lot of little comic moments. I really like the scene where the workers strike at the factory.
Yeah, and that old guy that I thought was Rob Schneider, but it's not.
He does kind of look like Rob Schneider, though.
He's plotting about how they can strike. And
yeah, because they're upset that they think that Jason Bateman's going to sell the company, and if he sells the company, that means that they're all going to lose their jobs, basically, and Jason Bateman's going to run away with the money and not worry about, whether or not any of them have jobs. So they want to strike, but it's done in a hilarious fashion, because as it's going on, he's meeting with a lawyer to try and settle the insurance claims about Step losing his testicle in the accident. And he's really pissed off, and he comes down, and he's basically yelling at everybody, tearing their heads off, and they get too scared to speak up about the strike.
Yeah, and then they say, I think that went well, or something like that, after it was all over.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It's a film that, it's got some very funny moments in it. It's got some good performances. Jason Bateman is very good in it. He does a very good job of playing the straight man. As you've seen in Arrested Development, he's basically playing the same kind of character in a lot of ways in this. But this is a program that's much more grounded in reality than that show was. Again, this is something that could conceivably actually happen in the real world. And I think that the film has a kind of a lighter tone to it than some of Mike Judge's other work. It's kind of like a slice of life in film in a lot of ways. There's just like a lot of little scenes of the people working in the factories and everybody kind of doing their day-to-day life. and it's kind of held together by the Jason Bateman story.
Yeah, it is very day-to-day, and the two roles that that we're comparing here from Arrested Development and from this movie, both of the characters are very similar in that they both, you know, head this company, but at the same time, their personal life, family life, is not all that they want it to be.
Right.
It's almost like they're getting shit on all the time.
This is a film that got pretty good reviews when it opened up. It was fresh. It was rated fresh on the on Rotten Tomatoes, but it didn't do very well at the box office. It didn't open in a whole lot of theaters. It wasn't really promoted, and the promotions that they put out weren't really all that funny. They didn't really highlight a lot of the funny parts of the film. But it is a film that's rated R, and there is a lot of material that they wouldn't be able to show on commercials for the TV, so that's kind of understandable. And it was distributed by Miramax, and interestingly enough, Miramax has now been shut down, I guess, by Disney. Disney has pulled the plug on Miramax. And that's a studio that's been around since the late 70s, so this will end up being one of their final releases, and in a way, I guess that's kind of sad that it didn't do as well as perhaps it should have.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about this movie being advertised or anything. I just saw this in the video store. There was only a couple copies of it, and I saw Jason Bateman was in it, and I liked him, so I thought, oh, I'll watch it. And I ended up really liking it.
Yeah, and I liked it a lot too, and I rented it from Redbox, and I almost did go and see it in the theaters. I don't remember. I must have went and seen something else instead. But I do kind of wish that I had went and supported this movie in the theaters, because Mike Judge doesn't have the opportunity to make a whole lot of movies, and you know, when he comes out with a new one, you know that it's going to be a quality film, because he's very meticulous and particular about the things that he puts into his movies. His movies, everything that's in them is in them for a reason. This movie doesn't feel bloated in any way. There's nothing that's like extraneous, and that's a pretty high compliment considering that it doesn't exactly have that much of a plot, and yet I wouldn't cut anything out from it.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good comedy. I would definitely recommend checking it out. I like the music in it a lot as well. It's got a lot of music from some like classic country artists like Waylon Jennings.
Oh yeah, at the beginning that song, "Don't Take Her, She's All I Got."
Yeah, that's great. That's Johnny Paycheck.
Yeah, that's good.
I really like the music in this film a lot. Yeah, I really think that this film is worth seeing, and it's interesting that you pointed out that you didn't even realize that it was, you know, that it existed until you saw it in the video store. When you look at it, it does look like something that has gone direct to video, like when you look at the box.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because you see like a whole you see a whole bunch of recognizable faces in it, but no one's really known for being in like any like super big movies. Except for Ben Affleck.
And I don't really care for Ben Affleck at all. But in this movie, I liked him.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. Like, he's kind of lost a lot of that big star quality. Like, ever since he and J-Lo broke up, ever since the end of Bennifer. He's not really at the same level. Like, if you take Matt Damon, you know, his friend. Matt Damon is like a super huge A-list, comes out with a whole bunch of Oscar caliber high box office grossing movies every year, and Ben Affleck has kind of like slowed down a bit, and he wasn't really a big part of the advertising for this movie as well. You'll see like "and Ben Affleck" at the very end, as if he was like, you know, kind of maybe not an afterthought, but he's not a main part of the movie. But you look at the list of actors in it, and nothing in it particularly screams, you know, A-list. Big cast movie, but you watch this film and it's very well crafted and it's very well written, and it's definitely worth seeing, and I'm very glad I watched it. I watched it, I liked it so much. I never do this with movies either. I liked it so much I immediately watched it again.
Yeah, I watched it and then I watched it a couple days later.
Mm-hmm. Then I watched it again later that night, like I put it on as I was going to bed, you know, in the background, and I ended up watching a little bit of it again before I fell asleep. I was very glad that I rented this. Are you ready, Emma, to cult it or can it?
Yes.
All right, so one of the things that we do here on the podcast is we culture can films. I would definitely say, as well as Office Space and Idiocracy, you could throw this Mike Judge film into the cult as well. I think that he is a very underappreciated movie director and screenwriter in Hollywood, and I really wish that he would do more work more often, because he only makes a film like every 4 or 5 years, and I really think that that Extract was a funny film, and even though it doesn't really have much of a plot going on for it, what is there is perfectly fine and funny, and there are some great scenes in it. So I would say definitely check it out. I rented it from the Redbox for $1, and it's really hard to go wrong when you can rent something for so cheap. Emma?
I'm going to say cult it. I really enjoyed it. I found it really entertaining and funny.
This is definitely a movie that you could put on with some of your friends, and everybody could sit around and watch it, and everybody would enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, the general consensus would be something to the effect of, that was a pretty funny movie, I'm glad I watched it. So those are our thoughts on Extract. Please check out our website at cultitorcanon.blogspot.com. Feel free to drop us an email, drop us some suggestions, and let us know what you think of the show. So for my co-host,
Emma,
I am once again your host, Zach, and thanks for listening.